the mercies of our covenant God. Paul wrote in the book of Acts, chapter 13, the Lord said, I'll give you the sure mercies of David. I'll give them to you. And God has given them to us. And I address this congregation as Paul addressed the church at Thessalonica when he said, I know you are the elect of God. I know that. I'm persuaded of that. Because our gospel came unto you, not in word only, it came to you in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I know you're God's elect. Because you became followers of the Lord and of his apostles. I know you're God's elect. Because you became examples in conduct and conversation before those who about you and in other countries, you became an example. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I know you're God's elect because you became and are witnesses of the grace of God and of the blood of the Lamb in all countries. Then the Apostle John wrote to the early church and said this, I know, I'm persuaded that you've passed from death unto life. I'm sure of that. You know why I'm sure of that? He said, because you love each other. That's right. That's the proof of it. That's the evidence of it. You love Christ and you love one another. Not only that, but the Son of God has come and given you an understanding that you may know him, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And not only that, but because you have an advocate with the Father, a mediator, who is Jesus Christ, the righteous. I know you're God's elect. And I know you've passed from death unto life. And I know it thirdly because the grace of God, the grace of God is real and sure to you and for you, as sure and real as the throne of God. And because the gospel of Jesus Christ is real to you, it's not just a catechism or a confession of faith, it's a reality. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed you from all sin and regenerated you by his Holy Spirit and made you new creatures in Christ Jesus. And you can sing and say with David, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And surely, certainly, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know, we know whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he's able to keep that which we've committed to him against that day. And we know, because he taught us that, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And that's why Paul wrote in Acts 13, I'm sure, I'm persuaded that God will give you the sure mercies of David. What are they? All right, Ezekiel 36. Turn to Ezekiel 36. Now, this has not always been the case. I want you to read first verse 16 of Ezekiel 36. This is what we were, children of wrath, even as others. In Ezekiel 36, 16, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, that is, they were delivered from Egypt, Egypt, and then they went down into Canaan. What happened? They defiled it by their own way. and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land. This is what they were and what we were. And for the idols wherewith they had polluted the land. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. According to their way, according to their doings, I judged them. It's always judgment before grace. You know that. I judged them, God said. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Watch this now, verse 21. But I had pity upon them. He had pity upon us, didn't he? You know, Paul wrote over here, let me just turn and read it to you. Paul said in over here in Ephesians 2, he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, just like Israel of old, dead in sins, profaned his name, walked our own way. In times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature, by birth, children of wrath, just like those others, just like the heathen, children of wrath. But verse 21, I had pity upon them. Why? Because they deserved it? No, sir. Because they were worthy of it? No, sir. Like their fathers, they profaned my name. But I had pity upon them. I had pity for my own holy name's sake. For the house of Israel has profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I will do this for your sake, O house of Israel. Not for your sake. I will not do this for your sake, because you deserve it, because you're worthy of it. I will not do this for your sake. I'll do it for my holy name's sake. I'll do it for the glory of my holy name. You see, what God does eternally, spiritually, for his people, it's not because we are worthy, or we deserve it, or we earn it, because like our fathers, we profane his name, but he does it for his name's sake. The Lord is speaking concerning his holiness for his name's sake. Turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, listen to this. Psalm 106, verse 6 through 8. This is why the Lord showed mercy to us, why we have the sheer mercies of David. In Psalm 106, verse 6, listen. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. And our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them. He saved us for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. That's the reason. That's the reason. That's what he's saying here. I'll show pity for my name's sake. I will do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you profane. Here's another scripture I want you to look at. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 9 through 11. Listen to this. Isaiah 48, 9. For my name's sake will I defer my anger. And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut you not off. That's the reason. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. for mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. That's why. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. That's the reason. Look at verse 23. Consider this carefully now. And I will sanctify my great name. I will sanctify my name. I'm going to exalt my name, my word, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. I'm going to magnify and exalt my great name. I'll make my name to appear in holiness. You know, Moses learned this lesson in a harsh and disappointing way. God says, I will sanctify my great name. And if you turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and read how that Moses learned this lesson so well, for a lot of reasons, but nevertheless, he learned it. You remember at the smiting of the rock, when God gave water to Israel. Well, a second time, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. And Moses was angry. And he stood in front of the people and he said, must I get water out of this rock for you? And he smote the rock in anger. And the Lord told him that he would not enter Canaan. He would be able to get up on the mountain and see it, but he'd never entered it. He would never enter the land. Joshua would take him in. But Moses, after 120 years, died before he saw the land. Why? He didn't sanctify the name of God. Read this, Deuteronomy 32, verse 50. Deuteronomy 32, verse 50. You'll die in the mountain. Die in the mountain whither thou goest up. You'll be gathered unto the people, as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered to the people, because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you sanctified me not. You sanctified not my name in the midst of the children of Israel. And you'll see the land, but you'll not go in it. And that's what the Lord's saying to here. God's greatness lies chiefly in his holiness. And he'll make his name to appear in holiness, in reverence. Why? Well, now look at verse 23, the last sentence. I'll sanctify my name, and the heathen shall know that I'm the Lord, saith the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. I'm going to sanctify my people, mine elect, believers. I'm going to sanctify them. I'm going to sanctify them in you before the eyes of the world. Can I make good on that? Turn to John chapter 17, and I'll show you that I can. God's going to elevate, exalt, magnify, sanctify his name in front of this whole world one day, this whole universe, in his people. Let me show you that. John 17, verse 20. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. You're going to believe the gospel, and you have, and you do. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, and showered upon me, I've given them, showered upon them, that they may be one even as we are, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world, the heathen world, the unbelieving world, the profane world may know that you sent me and you've loved them just exactly as you love me. I'm going to sanctify my name. And we better hear it and better regard it and better adore it and better stand in respect and awe before the name of our God, because the day's coming when that name is going to be sanctified and exalted above all things, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, that the whole world may know that God sent him. The whole world is going to know God sent him, and God loved you just exactly as he loved him. That's just so. And then he begins verse 24 with the word, I will. I will. I'm going to tell you what I will do. What I will do for you, you who believe. This is what I'll do. I'm going to do it. I think about that when I read this, I will. He says, I'll take you. I'll take you from among the heathen. When I see that, I will, when the Lord says, I will, I think about that leper. When our Lord came down from the mountain and this leper ran to him and fell down at his feet, a leper, unclean, doomed, damned, dying. And he fell at the feet of Christ and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. If you will, you can make me clean. And our Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. I will. I will. You know, James said this too. James said, don't say we're going to town and go shopping. We're going to town, buy this. We're going to work tomorrow. You say, the Lord willing, I'll go. The Lord willing, I'll work. The Lord willing, I'll do this, that, and the other. Because your life's a vapor. And you only live and move and work by the will of God. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will. I will. I will. Listen, I'll take you from among the heathen. I'll take you from all these countries. I'll gather you out of all the countries. Here they are. Many of them right here. Taken from all the countries, all walks of life, rich and poor, old and young, male and female, etc., etc., etc. I've called the call of Christ Jesus. I'll take you out of these places. I'll deliver you. I will. Turn back a couple of pages to Ezekiel chapter 34. Listen to this. I love this scripture, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. Ezekiel 34, 11. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. I'll do it, my sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered. Scattered we were, weren't we? Oh, how we were scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them of all the places where they've been scattered in that cloudy, dark day of sin and death. And I'll bring them out from all the people. I'll gather them from all the countries. I'll bring them to their own land. And I'll feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, in all the inhabitant places. What is this? I'll bring them to their land. Our Lord said to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I'll receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. That's what he's saying. I'm going to take you from among the profane and the heathen and the idolatrous and idolatry, and I'm going to gather you from all the country. I'm going to bring you into your own land. And that's what our patriarchs and forefathers look for. Let me read you about it over here. I'll just find it and read it to you. Listen. He said, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Do you? I do. I know you do. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's what he said. I go to prepare a place for you. Where there'll be no tears, no pain, no death, no sorrow. And God will be their God. They'll be his children. Yeah. I'll gather you. I'll bring you to your own land. And then look at verse 25. And Ezekiel 36, 25. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. What is this water? Water. It's water in the blood. It's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Three that bear record on earth. The Son, the water, and the blood. The water and the blood. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be for me from my sins a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Justified and sanctified. Save from wrath by the blood. Sanctified by the water. I'll sprinkle clean water on you. Clean water. And you shall be clean. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We're clean. And we're sanctified from all our filthiness. Sin and sins. Not only our sins, but why we sin. What I do. Is as important as why I do it. Why? That's why I'll cleanse you from all your sin and all your filthiness. Not only your sins, but your filthiness. That nature. And then I'll cleanse you from your idols. That's what Paul said. He said something about his idols. He said, what was gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. I count all things but loss. By the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. All my idols. And then look at verse 26. Sure mercies of David. I'm going to give you a new heart. A new heart I'll give you. Now this right here, this is the peculiar, the particular, and the crowning feature of the covenant of grace. This is the peculiar, particular and crowning feature of the covenant of grace. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. The religion of this world and the religion of works and the religion of human merit doesn't begin on the inside. It begins on the outside. God begins on the inside, giving you a new heart. The religion of the world begins on the outside. You're given a day to observe. You're given a tithe to pay. You're given a place to go. You're given a rule to obey. And you're given duties to perform and just hope that it'll bear fruit inside. But it won't. But God says he begins the work from within. You must be born again. Born from above. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And God gives us a new heart, a believing heart, an obedient heart, a loving heart, a new heart that loves him and loves his word, loves his will, and loves his people. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. An obedient heart. A new heart and a new spirit. That's what he said in verse 26. A new heart will I give you. And I'll give you my spirit. I put my spirit in you. That's what Paul said about conversion. He said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. Not just to me, in me. And that's the reason when the Lord said to Peter, do you love me? Peter didn't say, with my new heart I love you, but with my heart of nature I hate you. No way. No way. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Believers don't hate God at any time, in any way. They love him. That's right. A new heart I give you. A new spirit I put within you. That's right. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have a new nature. Of course we battle in conflict with the old nature, but we have a new nature. And this is, what's this next line now? The new heart I give you, 26, I'll put my spirit within you. I'll take away that stony heart out of your flesh. I'll take it away. We're not only given something, we have some things taken away. I'll take away that stony heart. A heart of stone. You know, that's a terrible description, but it's a description of every natural heart. It's a heart of stone. And I'll tell you something about that heart of stone. It's hard. It's hard. This new heart is a flesh. It's pliable. It's workable. But this heart of stone is stony. And if you hit it, it'll come back at you. You hit that stone, it'll bounce right back at you and get even with you. That's a heart of stone. You can soak it with tears. Soak it with tears. And it may have an effect for a moment. You can wet it good with tears, but it'll dry up. And you'll never soften it with tears. I don't care how much you cry. And it's not only hard, but it's cold. It's a cold heart. Build a fire on it. Try it. It'll warm it. Not inside, but outside. It'll warm it temporarily. But oh, how quickly it gets cold again. It gets cold again so quickly. Stays hard, stays cold, and it's dead. That old heart's dead. Speak to it, it will not hear you. We know something about that, don't we? We preachers. Speak, they don't hear. Cut it, it won't bleed. Teach it, it will not learn. Threaten it, it won't respond. Try it, it won't respond. There's nothing to be done with a cold, dead, hard heart, but take it out. That's what God, I'll take it out. I will take out of your flesh that stony heart, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. A heart sensible to sin. A heart to hear the word and believe it. A heart to love and worship God and give thanks. A heart to respond to the love of others, to their heartaches, to their trials, to their need. A heart to rest in Christ and long for his return. A heart to glorify God. And verse 27. And I'll put my spirit within you. I put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my commandments. I want you to look at 1 John 4. This is a powerful lesson here. 1 John chapter 4. I will put my spirit within you, and you will cause you, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. In 1 John 4, verse 4, now you are of God, little children. You're the elect. You're the children of God. You people, he's had pity and sanctified you and given you a new heart, and taken that old holy star. You're of God, little children. You've overcome. And why have you overcome? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What did the new covenant say? I will put my spirit within you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And because I put my spirit in you, you walk in my way. You walk in my word. You walk in my judgments and commandments. In verse 5 says this, they are of the world. We're not of the world, we're of God. They're of the world, and they think like the world, and they act like the world, and they talk like the world, and they live like the world. And they're not overcomers. They're conformists. But they're of the world. They speak of the world, and the world hears them. But verse 26, but we are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that's not of God hears us not. This is the way you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I put my spirit within you, and you walk in my ways, and you keep my commandments, constrained by his love, influenced by his spirit, strengthened by his grace. And what a covenant. Look at verse 28, and I close. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. This is the sure mercies of David. This is the mercies of the everlasting covenant. This is the mercies of our covenant God. You'll be my people. You will. You shall be my people. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You shall be my people, and I'll be your God. What a heritage. What a covenant. What an inheritance. I will and you will. I will. You will be my people. And I will be your God. That's the sum and substance of the mercies of the covenant God.